Hello, Kanto.
Hello, Kanto.
Episode 7? I don't know. It's
7.
It's absolutely 7.
7. Lucky 7.
This is the Fuchsia City episode, so welcome to Hello, Kanto. I'm your host, SBJ. With me is Greg.
Hello, I'm your other host for this wonderful trip back through Kanto.
So we'll be talking, if you're new here, this is our complete audio playthrough of Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. So if you're starting off here, there are other episodes you can listen to. If you don't want spoilers, we are talking pretty much about everything that happens in Fuchsia City. So if you're not there yet, probably advert your ears. If you don't care, then, I mean, you're welcome to stay. But yeah, this is we finished the Fighting Dojo. We finished the Silph Co.
The never-ending Silph Co.
We are avoiding Sabrina for now because, you know, trying to do this in order. Which path did you take? Did you take the water route path with the fishermen and the bird keepers and the rangers, or did you take the what used to be called the bicycle path?
So I wanted to see what the deal was going to be with cycling path, since there was no bicycle. So I went over to Route 17, and the guy in the house was like, 17 is so wide and spacious, a Pokemon can fly there. And I went, cool, I'm going to go see what this is. And so I had my Charizard, and I went onto the route, and I brought my Charizard out. And then the next thing I knew, I had hopped on my Charizard, and I flew over everybody, and I just sailed on down to Fuchsia City.
Okay.
I didn't have to fight anybody. I just took a nice scenic fly down to Fuchsia. I did go back, but I thought, this is really nice. There's an option to just go to the next gym leader. If you have a flying Pokemon, they will just carry you down, and you can sail over all the grass and see the Ponyta and see the trainers. I will say that 17 did the interesting thing is that the trainers were unique and they had the first Pokemon that they would start with next to them on the route.
Yeah.
Which was very cool. They had that weird old guy who had my favorite line, which was, see when he opens, are you a good kid or a bad kid?
I don't remember this dude, but okay.
Yeah. And then when you defeat him, he's got that standard look of shock on his face. And he goes, oh, you're a great kid. It's like this sort of terrified of you moment. It made me laugh for like 5 minutes because it was just so bizarre. I enjoyed that route simply because I could skip it. And I was like, this is really nice that there is an option in Cycling Road is now, if you have, like a lot of people might at that level, a Charizard, you can just hop on the back and fly straight down to Fuchsia and come back to this if you want. And that's what I did. I also went over to Route 15, 14, 13, and 12, which are hot garbage routes. Why is the fence still there? Why? That whole series is still mostly a nightmare.
I can't. It's hot. I have to battle everyone.
Oh, I did too. I went back up 17 and I could go at my own pace. Man, it took me multiple sittings to get the courage and the willpower to fight through that side route with the fence and the water. And
there's so many trainers there.
And there, I mean, again, they at least have interesting combinations, but at that point, I had fought through all the trainers at 17, all the trainers on 18. At that point, I started, now I was over-leveled, because there's so many. And I've been switching Pokemon out to level other ones to keep it interesting for myself, because I don't want to go into Blaine's gym so over-leveled. Granted, I don't know what level his are going to be at, but for the first time in the game, because of those routes, I started to feel I am way over-leveled for this.
The only time I was under-leveled was Surge. I've been over-leveled pretty much ever since, and I don't know how you solve that problem, right? If a player is over-leveled and they don't want to switch Pokemon because they have an attachment to them, and then you present two paths to Fuchsia City, and I'm already overleveled, but I want to see this other path, and I can't have it in me to not battle these people. I mean, that being said, I don't think I really increased that much. I think I may have went up two levels after all those people, but man, there are like 20, 30 trainers.
Yeah. I will say that the trainer battles were giving me less experience than when I briefly catch comboed Tauros. Tauros catch combo gives a lot of experience, and I was using that to level up a bunch of really low level ones because I wanted to see what ride options I had. So chaining Tauros was like thumbs up, but fighting the trainers did not give me nearly the levels that I thought it would. I didn't realize that you could go battle Mina. Like, I knew she was there. I didn't know you could fight her.
Oh, yeah. Back at the SSN.
Yeah, I went back there and fought Mina just to clear it up because it's like, I was twitching. I'm like, I haven't completed something. But yeah, but Fuchsia City itself is beautiful. It is a beautiful town, and it's got the go-park in it, which is a nice, there's like that nice little scene of Eevee running around to all the Pokemon outside of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is super cute.
That scene is cute. Yeah, for sure.
And then going to Goku's gym...
Also, they did the whole thing of, like, it's not really a zoo anymore. It's like a nature preserve.
It's like a nature preserve,
I'm sure there are, I don't know what the word for it is, but safari zones, like a area where you trap Pokemon for the pure sake of catching.
Yeah.
Is quote unquote bad, even though this entire game is catching Pokemon, but I guess it's, I don't know what it's similar to, of like, we went out of our way to gather these Pokemon to lock them here so you can then catch them for sport, I guess is probably what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, I think that's what they're avoiding. But you do get to learn surf, how to surf in that nature reserve.
Yep.
Which I immediately, so it's probably just me. Maybe you had this experience, but knowing that the Pokemon appear in the overworld, when I got Surf, I was suddenly excited to go back to towns I had visited to see what would show up on those water routes. Like, I knew it would be, some would be Magikarp, but then I was like, okay, but they can't all be Magikarp. And so I had this new renewed interest to go back to places and see what the water routes were like.
Oh, man, the minute I got Surf, I flew to Vermilion to see if the truck was still off to the side.
And?
It's there.
Okay, when you were surfing around, did you actually run into any Pokemon outside of Vermilion City?
I think I ran into like a Tentacruel or a Tentacool.
I was there for like 10 minutes and nothing appeared, but yeah, I did go up and do Get Goldeen.
Somehow I got a Tentacruel. Maybe I don't remember.
But I think the spawn rate seems very slow. But yeah, I surfed around. It was exciting to go back to places to see what I could get on water routes. So that was like enthusiastic for me. I was like, ooh, it's exciting. It gives me a reason to go back to these places. Which is a weird... I think I'm so enamored with the idea of Pokemon appearing in the overworld that I get excited to go back to these areas when I'm able to access something new to see what shows up. And I think that's a hidden gem of this series.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like, yeah, I'm not going to say I disagree, because immediately when I got Surf, I wanted to check specific areas in the back of my head. But Go Park was definitely a very exciting thing. I looked forward, just all of Fuchsia City was very exciting to look forward to after the slog that was Saffron.
And I couldn't figure out what they were going to do about the Warden's Teeth, if they were going to keep it in. And they did in a weird way, because he's still there without his teeth, and you still have to find his teeth, but they aren't in Go Park.
Yeah, the Jesse and James finding the teeth was a fine.
it was like an odd bit of anime comedy relief that they haven't done much in the game. Like, it was just this sort of weird, we don't know how to do this teeth thing, so let's just make it a Jesse and James moment. And I appreciated the complete oddness of that entire interaction. I was like, all right, literally they're trying to make money any way they can. And Jesse trips over solid gold teeth, but won't use them because she finds them so disgusting. They make you deal with it. It's like so out of left field. I found it oddly funny and oddly charming, more than it probably has a right to be. But I was like, all right. And then I will go give them to the warden who teaches me strength. And then I can meet the secret Diglett.
Secret Diglett?
Yeah, you push the rock in his...
Oh, I haven't pushed the rock yet.
Yeah, secret Diglett's back there.
Okay. Yeah, Fuchsia's cool. The gold teeth, I think, was a fine way to handle it. It was funny that...
Yeah.
He couldn't talk and everything. Just real quick, I think... while I think the Lavender Town route to Fuchsia is awful and pretty much the same, I do like all the changes they made to the cycling route.
Yep.
I think that route is beautiful. That's where you can get a bunch of berries. It seems that you don't have to wait a full day for it to reset. You can leave the area, come back, check the bushes again.
Yeah.
And I probably did that for an hour or two, just stocking up in berries.
And it's a beautiful route. The fact that you can soar over it too, like, just go there, take a Charizard and fly over it, because it feels very, it just feels majestic and scenic. It's probably my favorite route in the whole game. I just spent time flying up and down that route, admiring how pretty it was, which is a testament to the game and the graphics of the game, that I could just enjoy it as a piece of visual art, and I had the option to just fly over it and check, you know, and see things moving in and out of the bushes. It just was, it's really well done, and if I had to retire somewhere, I would build a home on Route 7. That would be my goal.
Go Park.
Yeah, Go Park.
Well,
so I had prepped during the Cubone event, as I had promised on Twitter. I caught 31 Cubone specifically to be able to send it into Go Park.
Oh, you did that minigame.
Which I did.
Okay.
And... it's super cute. Like, visiting them in the world just reminds me of Pokemon Ranch with better graphics. It's super, super cute. Like, it's for holding only 50, they made that area real big. I had to walk around a lot to find them. Well, plus Cubone are small. But then I was able to do the mini game.
And how is the mini game? What do you get from it?
Thankfully, short.
Okay.
You get a candy, depending on how well you did. Basically, the 25 of whatever you have, and it has to be 25 of the same one, like, because I've since added a bunch, and they're like, none of these are eligible, only your Cubone are. And so you have to go and gather them up and bring them to the goal, but there are ground-type Pokemon that are burrowing underground and will chase you and then pop up and break the Pokemon that are following you away, so they scatter, and you have to go collect them again. The mistake I made the first time is I thought I had to do all 25 in one go and get all 25 at the same time to the goal. You don't. You can take them one at a time if you want to, but you do get better results and points if you can gather a large number. So I think the highest I got sent through were 10. I got 10, and I got, when it was all done, I got all 25 in under a minute. And I got 3,000 points, and I got a couple of extra large candies, I think. I don't remember exactly. But it seems to be a quick, short method to get a smattering of candies.
Oh, okay.
It's not particularly fun.
Okay.
It's an interesting little puzzle, but like once you sort of realize that, you know, you just can collect them and run in batches, and you just try to get... you know, big batches while avoiding the fairly easily identified mounds of dirt coming towards you. It's not hard. It's a nice little distraction, but it's the only game available. There's nothing more. There's no other versions that I've seen, but I haven't been able to transfer more than 25 in. I only have the 25 Cubone. I'm working on getting more in, but it's there. I was like a little disappointed that it was still really kind of just a little basic game. And I guess for getting candies basically for free for, you know, under a minute of time, it's probably a net worth it because it doesn't take a lot of time. I just wish it was a more engrossing or fun game. It's just not that fun.
I, oh boy, I have, I had zero good expectations for Go Park. If you've played, you know, HeartGold, SoulSilver, or any other Gen 4 engine game, you have and you also played Black and White and or any other Gen 5 engine game, you know that if you transfer those over, you have to do a little slingshot minigame and recapture your Pokemon.
Ugh. You ever, hated that thing.
You ever play any of those Gen 3 games? You moving into Gen 4?
Yep.
Pal Park would like to have a word with you. Have to recapture the Pokemon. That is still present here. And I first Pokemon I transferred into Go Park to activate the Meltan box was one of my oldest Pokemon. I don't have any Pokemon that I kept on launch day or the 3 or 4 days after, because I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, when Pokemon Go launched, Trainer Club was down for the first 72 hours. Like, it worked, and then it went down. And I made a Google account to play to report, but I don't even know what that email was or what Pokemon I caught, but I used that for 3 days. And then as soon as Trainer Club went back up, I switched back, so... That being said, Trainer Club was working the first week of the game after the initial 3 or 4 days, and I went to Atlanta to interview WWE superstar Xavier Woods, and we played Go together, and I had a Chansey that I caught in Atlanta the day I interviewed him, so that was one of my, that was, I think, my oldest Pokemon that I kept, and that was the first Pokemon I traded into Go Park because I did not plan to trade that Pokemon to anyone else. It was just Chansey hanging out, and I got my Meltan box. Did you activate your Meltan box and Go?
I did last night, yes.
Okay, and how many Meltan do you remember you caught?
I think I caught 10. Let me look. I can look. I got my phone right here. Okay, but I'm pretty sure it was 10.
I caught 10. I didn't move. I was sitting in my house. It was about one every 3 minutes, so I don't know if you move, if you get more, or if it's capped at 10. So my whole plan was I've been sitting on 500 plus rare candy for more than 12 months. I think at one point the highest I was up to was 700, and I literally just had to get rid of some because of bag space. I think I turned over 200 into Mewtwo candy, and at one point I got back up to 700, and I think I did something with that candy. I don't remember. I put them into some Pokemon. But as of yesterday, I had over 500 rare candy. And so I was like, I'm going to catch as many Meltan as I can. And I'm going to evolve one of those into Melmetal, because I don't think a lot of people would have Melmetal as quickly as I would. And I want to just, like... Melmetal, even if you don't use rare candy, is kind of hard to get, and I would like to have more than one. And so this, I feel like, is a good use of my rare candy. I'm not going to put it into Piplup. Eventually, there will be a Piplup community day, and I will be swimming in Piplup candy. I'm not going to put it into Ralts. I'm sure there will be a Ralts community. Like, there are just... We said this last episode, Pokemon players are impatient.
Yep.
But I feel good about putting it into Meltan, because if I'm only capping at like 50 rare candy or 50 Meltan candy a week, or however many 10 plus 3 plus Pinap is.
60 a week.
That's still almost a month to get one Melmetal if I remember to do it every week. And yep. I like mythical Pokemon, so I think that that's fine. I think that, like, they should make Melmetal hard to get. So I did my Meltan. I transferred one Meltan over, and I transferred my brand new Melmetal over. And I was
that
like,
big boy.
you know what? I want to catch Melmetal in a Premier Ball. One thing real quick before I get to the amazing catching mechanics in this game is you can go to, what is her name? Madame Celadon? I don't know what her...
Yeah, the psychic in Celadon City controls the natures you run into.
Yes.
And that also affects when you capture in Go Park. So what's interesting, I think, about Go Park and what I began to sort of hit on as the potential of Go Park is if you want to shiny hunt a specific Pokemon that you know you can get a lot of or that you have a lot of in Pokemon Go, you can send them over and do catch combos in Go to sort of raise how many of those you've caught so that catching them out in the actual game is easier. So, like, if I really wanted to hunt Cubone, I've got 31 Cubone in my Go Park that I could eat through to up my Cubone content and then go out and have a better catching time out in the real world because I've already got ones that are stuck in my park and can't leave me. Like, I know where they are and I know how to find them.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting tie-in between the two games that you can use the Pokemon you find in the real world out in Go to help fuel hunting and chain comboing in Let's Go. And I don't think I'd ever made that connection, like that was even going to be a thing until I started doing it in game. So it's a nice little, even though the catching process is kind of whatever it is. But go on, you were doing your Melmetal. I watched you try to catch it in a Premier Ball for like an hour.
I know, there's no doubt in my mind, I threw over 100 Premier Balls at Melmetal. I've been told its catch rate is less than 1%, which makes sense, it's a mythical. I'm sure it would have been easy if I would have used Ultra Balls and spent Raspberries on it, but it's hard, and this goes back to the Snorlax conversation, it's hard for me to spend materials I cannot buy on something that is quote unquote guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I can just turn the game off and turn it back on and Snorlax will be there. I cannot do that with a wild Pinsir. I cannot do that with a shiny. You have one chance.
Using berries in Go Park when, even if they do run away, they're still standing in front of you and you can start the whole combat over again. Like, eventually the numbers will work out without a berry. You don't need to use berries in there.
Yeah, I just didn't see a benefit of using a berry when, like, if it ran, which is confusing to me.
Yeah,
it is you literally just talk to it again. And I think the reason that probably exists is because, like, why would they program two different Cubone? Like, going back to your Cubone, like, they would have to program a situation of, like, if it's in this area, it doesn't run.
Yeah.
Like, well, also, so I get why they didn't do it.
If you're doing catch combos, like, guaranteed getting up to a 30 catch combo, and then you can sail to that area, you know, you can fly to that area and continue your combo because you haven't caught anything. Like, that, I think they might have wanted to stop that abuse of the system a little bit by still having that chance always that your catch combo can break.
Yes, I agree. Because it would be easily abused.
I think for that reason.
But, man, let me tell you the most infuriating thing, though, is when you do decide to give it a berry, and then it runs before you even get to throw the ball.
Because it's like, thanks for the food. I'm out.
Yeah, so I don't know if we have enough data to be like, this Pokemon has this percentage to run, or what timer are these Pokemon on to be like, after 30 seconds, run, yes, no. After 45 seconds, like,
it's got to be something.
I would like to know that because I think, or I'm just very curious of how that works, and maybe that's so random that we don't ever pinpoint it, but it was like 110 Premier Balls, I think, I spent on Melmetal, which, when I caught it, it felt really good, and it erased that frustration up to the, like, I don't know, 45 minutes it took for me to catch it, and it was exciting. And I think that's always kind of like the point I've made, that I've kind of pushed for, is like the battling was never the exciting part. Like, get like always like finding it and catching it is the exciting part. Making it difficult, though, is, I guess, like, if I go to catch, you know, my 10th Melmetal, it'll probably be slightly easier.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's just that one experience, though, just made me think of, oh, if I move, like, the first 150 Pokemon into this, I have to catch them all again. And the Pidgeys and the Meows and the Goldeens and the Magikarp, they will probably be pretty easy to catch. But that's like a lot of money you have to spend to re-catch your own Pokemon, which is very different than like both PAL Park in Gen 4 and the minigame in Gen 5. I don't know what it's called with the bow and arrow, but like...
I don't remember either. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's there, like, you can... You use whatever balls they give you, and that's fine, and you might have some trouble catching or finding the Pokemon, especially in PAL Park, of like, where is it? I gotta find it, but it's guaranteed catch when I find it. This is like, you spend your own money, which is both like good and bad. I'm sure at one point money will be plentiful, but also
I am broke in this game.
Oh man, I've been doing pretty all right. But also, like, you can now catch Pokemon in Premier Balls if you want to, but also I feel like that kind of negates the whole thing of Pokemon Go, of like, I have purposely caught things in certain balls because that's what I've been accustomed to, and now that I have an opportunity to change its ball, that feels a little weird to me.
I don't know. I don't know how they would have done it better. I sort of wish that they had, like, Go Park Safari-like balls that you just got, and then they would be clearly marked that these came from Go, to make that, like, if you're going to change the ball, make it like a special Go Park ball, maybe? I don't know. It doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel bad, but it's not like a super great experience either. And at this point, I'm just literally putting things in there so I can go into my parks and visit them with no intent of catching them, and also I need space in my bag in Pokemon Go. And so I'm like, they'll just sit here. You know, I'm straight up being Ash. I put 20 Tauros into a park and I run around with them, and it's all good. Like, I don't plan on catching them unless I really want to. Although it's interesting that I did do one experiment. I put my Cubone that did have two good stats, HP and attack. And when I sent it in, it kept those, also made special attack best, and then randomized the others and randomized the nature. So their stats in-game do seem to affect what they will be when you catch them, as far as my literally one-time experimenting it went. So there is at least that. So you can, if you find something good in the world and you want to use it in-game, it's not completely gone.
Yeah. I do like the amount of control. Like, you can import your Pokemon, you can go over to Madame Celadon, you can pick the nature, you can go back, you can catch it in the ball that you want, and then go back to Madame Celadon, switch the nature, go back. You can, there, you have
at
so much
10,000 a pop. Yeah,
you have so much control, which is nice, but also It's very time consuming for a Pokemon you caught
already
and have
and
to
maybe
catch.
Paid money for the balls in Go, and then you're gonna pay. I mean, granted, it's not real money in the game, but I'm finding it like, ugh, I don't have an amulet coin. Like, they don't have items, so
yeah,
I can't
payday.
Game the system. So I payday a bunch of stuff just to make some extra cash. It's weird. It's a weird economy I got going. But, I mean, all in all, Go Park is fine. I had higher hopes for it, but it meets the minimum of my expectation, and I can put Pokemon in from my game and I can go visit and run around with him, and it's cute, and that's probably the most I really wanted out of it.
Yeah.
And then I went and fought Koga.
Yeah, I don't think there's much to say about the Koga battle. The gym is beautiful.
There's two things. The gym is beautiful. It's interesting that the mist shows you the path. Like, I thought that was nice. It does, I think this is the first time I became aware of the programmers putting in a competitive type strategy of toxic stall into how the trainers worked in there. Because they were very toxic stally. Toxic, protect, minimize, so that you would be worn down. And this is, I think it was Koga's gym that I first thought, if you were locked in this gym, like you couldn't get out like it was a trial, this tactic would be devastating.
Hmm.
Because you would be stuck in there with a bunch of stuff toxic and you couldn't leave. And if you didn't come in prepared with antidotes, I mean, I don't know that you would make it to the end because of that strategy. But because you can leave, it's not as effective.
Interesting.
But if you aren't prepared for it, it can easily catch you off guard.
Yeah. So, I was in a situation where Koga never poisoned me or used toxic or did anything. It was weird.
Every trainer poisoned whatever I had out, poisoned every time. Protect, like almost everyone did it to me, including Koga. So I was poisoned a lot. I was, you know, I didn't necessarily have a tough time because I know you sort of know that, oh, they've toxic me, and if it's toxic solid during protect, I will do one of my boosting or I get a free switch in and then I can attack as long as I'm faster. Like, there's ways around it if you're aware of it, but I think that gym, I really felt, would have been more of a challenge if you were locked in there and you couldn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful gym.
It's great, yeah, and Koga has a lot of personality.
Yeah, all five of them. Shadow Clone Jutsu.
Yeah, I like Koga a lot. I think he's a cool gym leader. Yeah, I guess in closing, I do like all of Fuchsia. I like the changes they made.
Yeah.
Go Park.
Mm-hmm.
Not thrilling.
No.
Go Park seems like homework.
It seems like homework, but also, you know, I was such a big fan of Pokemon Ranch. Like, I just liked being able to walk around them. That just having a place to put Pokemon that I catch and go, and just being able to go visit them, it meets my base need, and I'm happy enough with it. And if I decide to get super competitive and try to pull something over so that I can do the have a better chance at the master battles post game, I will probably do that. I like explore that more. But right now, it's just nice. It's not great, but it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And then I went to Sabrina and Power Plant next. Is that what you plan on doing?
Yeah, I was in the Power Plant. I don't plan on catching any of these legendary birds right off the bat. I'm assuming the Power Plant ends with Zapdos.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you.
After Koga, I went back to Sabrina, and then after Sabrina, I did the fence/lavender that route.
Yep. And then I did that, and I did Power Plant, and we can talk about that next time, because once again, we're over.
As always. All right. We will be back next time with some Sabrina. Greg.
Not the Teenage Witch.
Not. Ooh, that's a good show.
Yeah, it is.
Greg, smell you later.
Smell you later, Steve.